everyone, and welcome to Real Estate Right Now, where real estate matters that matter to you. I'm telling you what, we have a great show. We're here live at the Lindercraft Team Studios here in Raleigh, North Carolina, part of the Research Triangle Park. I got to tell you, there are sometimes in real estate things that happen that are a little unusual. To say the least, there are sometimes, we think, well, real estate. We just kind of go through and we sell houses, we buy houses and there's sellers, buyers, and it just all happens. And there could be a little, but sometimes things get a little weird, shall we say? And everybody wants to know, what are some of the weird things that happen in real estate? Well, that's going to be part of the show. So the first part of the show, we're going to have Kim Crump, who is listing and buyer specialist with Lindercraft Team Realtors. She's going to join me. Again, you might remember her. It's the lovely town. Hello, Kim.
Hello.
And then afterwards, we are going to talk to a handyman, right? You go, a handyman? Oh, they are invaluable when it comes to doing repairs in your house. And we're going to talk to Steve Austin, not to be confused with $6 million man or Stone Cold Steve Austin. No, he's going to handyman, and we're going to talk to him later. But let's talk about some of the crazy things in real estate. Kim, let's remind people how long you've been doing real estate.
So I've been in real estate since 2007. Yes.
So we're looking at 15 years.
Sure.
And in your 15 years, not every time do you show a house or sell a house, have things been normal?
No, no. And that's part of the intrigue of my job.
Okay.
And I say that, of course, because I am not the client. I am the realtor. Right. But for me, it's always interesting when I go through these stories. Now, of course, at the time, it's a matter of,
right.
Okay, what do we do? What do we do? Survival mode. But it also depends where you are in the transaction when things happen.
Right.
Is it in the showing? Is it in your due diligence period and something happens during the due diligence period? Is it right before closing?
Right.
What do we see? We see a lot of different things.
Right.
Okay, so the first story that I will tell, would you like me to start?
Yeah, okay. Well, just before we get to that, before we get stories, because there's a bunch of stories. When we say bizarre stories, we're talking bizarre.
The last story I'm going to tell you is, it's going to blow your mind.
Okay, all right. First story. Let's get the first story. What's first story?
First story. Imagine you're a luxury buyer.
Okay.
We are pulling up to this gorgeous white brick manor style home, 6,000 square feet, and there are vultures, 5 or 6 vultures sitting on the roof. So we're thinking, oh my gosh, this is like Adam's Family kind of stuff, right? What? And we're like, okay. So we go into the house and didn't see anything or smell anything while we're in the house. That was fine. Then we go to open the back door. We open the back door and this almighty stench. It's just ungodly. And my clients walk out and we look in the backyard and a big deer had tried to jump the fence. And this was one of those aluminum style fences that have like the arrow point.
Right, the arrow points.
The arrow points on the top. Deer had tried to jump over, missed, and impaled itself and was hung.
Oh no.
It was so nasty.
It impaled itself?
It impaled itself.
On the fence.
On the fence. On the fence. It was just hanging there.
Just hanging on the fence.
So maybe 2 or 3 days it had been there, because the property that we were visiting and I was showing my clients was vacant. And this was a luxury property on 2 acres. So neighbors didn't see it. I'm sure they would have smelled it eventually.
Well, you would think the first sign is, I wonder why the Smiths have vultures.
Where do those big birds come from?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It was just, I called the listing agent.
Right.
And he's horrified, of course. And the neighbor confirms, yes, there is a deer carcass hanging on the fence on the property.
All right. So, okay. Got to know. Did they buy the house after the deer was removed?
No.
You never...
And it actually had nothing to do with the deer. The layout, the floor plan didn't work for that particular house.
A deer is impaled.
And then when you get a smell in your nose it lasts all day.
You can't get rid of it.
You can't get rid of it.
Did you guys have a laugh about it, at least your clients and you? Did you have
Oh, a... yeah. Oh, yeah. These are the kind of stories that really help build your relationship with your clients.
Right.
And some during the showing time frame, that's when you really build a relationship.
Right.
Now, when you're going through your inspection phase, that's when it's a lot more emotional and it's difficult because the buyers have invested money. They've put down their deposits.
Right.
So if things happen during your inspections, then, well, you're on the line for a little bit more than just showing. Because, you know, we say when we go out and look at homes, it's like you're dating. Because you're looking and you can see a home, you can visit the home, but you can say bye at any time. And then when you're under contract, well, it's like you're engaged. You have a little bit more skin in the game.
Right.
And when you buy the house and you're closed, you're married. It's your house.
Right.
So during the whole dating phase and looking at these properties, I mean, I've seen 2 feet of water in crawl spaces, wondering, why does this house smell so musty?
Right.
And just to open the crawl space door and there's 2 feet of water.
Seriously? You've had 2 feet of water in a crawl space?
Yes. And that was actually one of my listings.
Really? It was one of your listings?
It was one of my listings, actually. The sellers were out of town and they had been renting the property for 2 years.
Okay.
And so nobody had been in the crawl space and they didn't know what the condition was. And I was walking through the house. I'm like, smelly in here. Go up in the crawl space. And it's pretty much like a swimming pool.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So they had no idea.
So did they pump that out then? Is that what they did?
They did. And we put a special drainage system in there, redid, scrubbed all the boards because, of course, there was mold and everything. But we had a professional go in there and clean up the entire crawl space before we listed the property. And the difference in the smell is everything, right?
Well, I mean, okay, we bring up a good point. You bring up a really good point here, though, because, you know, our senses can turn us off to a house, can't they?
Absolutely. Right?
And it's because we think all these visually, right? I'm visually turned off by the house because I don't like the floor plan or I don't like the colors or whatever. But if we have a lot of high traffic or right here, right?
Yes.
Or we don't like the feel of the hardwood floors because they feel grainy or rough or right? Or and even though these things can be changed, they can turn us off.
Right. Well, and when it comes to smell and odors, they're so much harder to get rid of.
Right. Because once they're in the house.
Because, you know, it's like smokers. Somebody who smokes in their home, it's really difficult because that gets into your sheetrock.
Right.
You know, it gets into the flooring. It gets into all the furniture. And then pet odors. That's another. Sorry. During the downturn of the market back in 2010, I showed a property and unfortunately some sellers at that time had vacated their property and just left animals in the house.
Oh no.
Yeah. So there was, you can imagine.
Did they go feral or, I mean, just, did they just,
they tore the place
they
apart.
They just defecated and
all over the place.
Right.
I mean, we could see them inside. We were told it was a vacant. It was a go and show. We didn't show.
Right.
I opened the door, told my clients, just give me a minute. Let me see.
Right.
But I'm talking like cats. I mean, it was one of those where you open the door and you're hit with the urine smell from cats. Oh my goodness. And
And when they do that, when that happens, And somebody's going to have to do something with that house because they're going to have to pull up the boards.
Absolutely.
You can't just remove the carpet and hope that goes away because it's now soaked in to the flooring.
And as realtors, we support each other too. So of course, my first call was to the listing agent.
Right.
Did you know?
Right.
And then they said, oh my goodness, they had just taken off. The sellers had taken off. And they didn't know that the pets were left back in the house.
Oh my.
Yeah. So they called, of course, animal control and they were taken care of humanely, as soon as we could that same day. But that pet odors, that's a real tough one.
Wow.
Okay. For a lot of buyers, especially with allergies too.
Oh yeah. No. Well, I'm allergic to cats.
Okay. So you would have walked in and I would have been
crying. I'd have been itching. I would have been coughing. I'd have been wheezing.
I would have gone
immediately saying, I don't care if you want to buy this house or not. You're not buying this house because I can't do it. You may need to find another agent at this point.
I cannot go in that house.
I can't go in it.
But and similar to that story, there is quite a few foreclosures back in that time frame. And
the Great Recession, the 2007, 2008-ish?
Correct. Well, I showed a client a property. It was a foreclosure. We were told to be careful because there's a little bit of mold in the house. Let's clarify a little bit here. The walls and the rails going up the stairs were furry.
No.
Yes, it was furry. So
no.
What had happened was
they were furry.
They were furry. That's how much mold and fungus.
That's not a little mold.
Growth was in the house.
They're on the stairwell.
Yes, and so you ask, how on earth did that happen? How did it get so bad?
Yes.
A branch had fallen on the roof, and there was a massive hole, and the rain was just pouring right through the ceiling, right through the second floor, all the way to the first floor. You can imagine what the ceilings looked like. The ceilings were falling down, and it wasn't a safe place to be in either, of course.
Right,
so
right.
My feedback to the seller was that it just needs to be blown up. I don't know how you would have gotten rid of so much damage to a house like that.
Yeah, I mean, because when it's that much mold, what do you do? I mean, you almost have to clear everything out.
Well, it would go all the way back to the studs.
Right. You'd have to take it all the way back, right?
Right.
You have to completely strip it.
Right. So interesting to see how much damage water can do.
Right.
And of course, being at that time when you do have that many distressed properties, the banks don't have the time to look at every single property every day.
Or the details of every single property, because they may just do a drive-by.
Correct.
And so they don't know what's going on inside the house. They may just drive by the property.
Exactly. Wow. That was that one. Another story. This one happened the day before closing.
Oh, no.
So we'd gone through all of our inspections.
Okay, so we're engaged and getting ready. We're ready to get married.
Yes. Okay. You got it. Okay. So a beautiful home. This was up here in North Raleigh. Okay. This is a $900,000 home. And I get a call from the listing agent saying, we've had a small leak.
Okay. First of all, whenever you say like little mold or small leak, or we have a little water in the crawl space.
Yeah.
We have a small animal impaled on the railing. Okay. We have a small leak. Go ahead.
These are the bigger issues that I can remember. So what had happened was when the house was first built and the builders installed the cabinetry, which was flanking a fireplace, one of the pin nails was tapped into a water line. However, right before our closing, that nail decided it was rusty enough and had enough, and it popped and exploded. Now, the seller had already moved out. Once again, this was a vacant property.
Right.
And I go to check on it. As soon as I hear, it's not a small leak. I mean, it is gushing out water. So it ruined.
Like a water hose gushing?
Yeah. So it ruined the entire first floor of all of the hardwood floors. Some of the cabinetry had to be replaced. And that happened before closing.
Day before closing?
The day before closing, a rusty nail decided to give way.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what happens then, since it's the day before closing? Now what happens?
Okay. At this time, the seller said, I will take care of all of it. Because, of course, he still owned the property. He had homeowner's insurance on that property. So he could have his homeowner, he filed a claim and said, I'm going to fix it. Now, my buyers at that time were not very happy, and they did ask to get all their money back. However, with our contract, if a seller returns a property to the condition that it was in, then they don't have an obligation to give the money back. No. And it was a lot of money. It was, right. They would have
walked. Because it's due diligence.
Yes, it was due involved, diligence, right. And earnest money at this stage.
Right, okay.
And the seller had his company come in, the cleanup, the restoration company come in and fix up everything. What we ended up doing is we still closed the next day, believe it or not. And the reason we were able to do that is because we had an attorney draft an addendum stating what was going to happen, how the property was going to be returned to the conditions. And it was in writing with both seller and buyer in agreement, so the buyers could still close on the house.
And I understand the buyer's position, mm-hmm. right? I mean, I really do. At the same time, I mean, they're getting a new floor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, they're getting all new stuff.
Yeah. All the floors were completely sanded back.
Right. They were all sanded back. You're going
to get new floors.
Could they pick their own paint? I mean, could they?
Yeah. Anything that had to be redone, it was, the seller was so respectful right. and obviously dismayed because sure, he was sure. a really proud man.
Right.
And you can't control things like that.
Right. No, you can't.
You just have to manage the situation.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So the things that we see can happen during showings, which is usually funny and a great way, like I said, to grow relationships. During the transaction, it's more stressful.
So, I mean, how did it go with your clients? I mean, when they got it all done?
Oh, they were happy when they finally got into the house. But okay. I mean, you know, when you have hardwoods like that, and you're dealing with a restoration company and insurance, they want to preserve as much as they can.
Sure.
So not all the flooring was pulled up. They had to let it dry out,
right?
Which took a while, and then hardwood floors cup. So it was a process. It was definitely a process. But once they got in there, the location, the house, everything back to what it was great.
Okay.
It was great. And the other thing was the reason this one worked was because my clients were getting ready to do a pretty big renovation on the second floor and add a bathroom anyway. So that's why they could choose a contractor to come in and fix the damage as well as do the renovations that they were doing to the property.
Got it. So it kind of worked out in their favor.
It did.
A little bit.
A little bit. Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Yeah. The emotions are still the emotions though.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I think that's another key piece of this is that when these weird things happen, mm-hmm. the emotions are you can't unimpale a deer and hope that Bambi goes running off, right?
No.
I mean, you can't undo.
Me, myself, and I cannot right. physically go and lift right. this couple hundred pound deer.
A 250-300 pound deer off of a fence.
That's right.
Right. And you know, you're not going to wrangle cats, you know, that have been living in.
I don't know. No.
Right. And so, but when it comes to the stuff inside the house mm-hmm. that can be repaired, mm-hmm. it's still emotional, but if we can keep our senses about ourselves and go, but you know what, this can all be fixed.
It can be fixed.
And not only fixed, but it can be new.
Yeah. Well, how much time do I have? Because I have a really.
Oh, you still got time.
I still got time.
Yeah, you got time. Yeah.
So this one's the kicker.
This one's
the best one.
All right.
Okay. Now, this house was built in the very early 1900s.
Oh,
very
boy.
Early 1900s.
Oh my.
So I have a client who loves old historic homes.
Yeah.
And this house was beautiful. It was on an acre, and we were well aware that it had not been updated. However, there was another buyer at the time, and we do go under contract on this property. We walk into the house, go through, there's rugs all over the floors. So you really can't see the condition of the floors. And what we were told initially was there are soft spots in the floor.
Okay. All right.
Just
small,
be careful.
Small leak.
Right.
Small leak. A little mold.
A little mold. And some soft spots and in the floor.
Some soft spots. Okay.
So we knew a couple of things. We knew that the HVAC system was old, etc. Everything was old with this house. But the character and the smell is beautiful.
Right.
I mean, it's the real wood. It was, everything was original. Now, here is where it got interesting. What did they not have back in the early 1900s, Jay?
No bathrooms.
Oh, they had a bathroom. Okay. They had a bathroom. That's another issue, but we'll get to that one.
Maybe electricity would be an issue.
They had electricity.
Okay, wired
electricity. What keeps you heated and cooled?
Well, HVAC units.
Right.
Yeah.
Didn't have central air, heating and air back then. So,
well, how did they cool it?
Oh.
In North Carolina. They, so, a well, window unit?
20 years ago, the sellers, husband and wife, decided that they wanted to put in central HVAC. Well, in order to do that, you need a crawl space, or you need when you can work out other solutions, but it wouldn't be as discreet, let me say, right, as you would have wall units or you
right, would have window
split
units,
systems, all, right, right, things
right,
like that.
Right.
And that's just on the first floor, because on the second floor, there was the attic space that they could use for their second HVAC
right,
system.
To vent, to vent. Right, the, right, to
right.
Vent
so
everything, right.
First of all, as the seller was there and she proceeded to tell us that her and her husband 20 years ago dug out their own crawl space. Bucket by bucket. Seriously.
They bucket by bucket.
Bucket by bucket.
I'm picturing these orange Home Depot buckets, right? With
he would, the husband would be in the crawl space, digging out the crawl space, and then he'd hand the bucket to his wife and she'd go dump the bucket. Okay. So then,
was there a big pile of dirt out in the backyard somewhere?
Well, no, there wasn't, surprisingly. So maybe they just scattered it all over the place.
She's growing a new garden.
You're right.
She's got a raised garden in the back.
And what was interesting is when we did pull back the rugs after my client had gone under contract, there was a small rectangular space in the master bedroom, which was on the first floor. Right. It was a main floor master. But the boards didn't match the originals. And it was probably like a foot by 2 feet. And what we learned was the reason there was a ramp on the side of the house instead of steps that would come up onto the porch. The reason there was a ramp was because they used to feed the buckets of dirt up through the hole in the master bedroom to dump into the wheelbarrow, which then they proceeded to roll
out the front door.
Exactly. And doing it down the stairs was too much work, so they needed a ramp.
And so,
because their master and that side of the crawl space was on the other side of where the access door was.
So they had to go through the entire house.
Yeah. Yeah.
With the wheelbarrow.
With wheelbarrow.
Full of dirt.
Full of dirt. So that's when the main problems began. Okay.
Okay.
Because when you start digging and you don't pay attention to the structure
right
of a house, oh, they got too close to many footings, and then they got too close to one of the chimneys, and it was structurally unsound as well.
Right. Because right. The dirt is actually helping with the structure.
Yeah. Well, it was built that way for a reason.
Right.
When you build a house with a crawl space, it's built for
the footings
a particular way.
Right. The footings are different. Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So, okay. So that's the beginning of that house. There's more? Oh, yeah. We proceed to have our inspections. And in a nutshell, there were two dead possums in the crawl space, you know, friends, in low places.
More animals.
So there were two dead possums, which was still kind of furry. And then what else was there? The termites, huge termites, the soft spots in the floor. Some spots were in the floor. The termites had eaten away almost all of the floorboards in the central living area of the house. So that's why it was soft and crunchy, because of all the extensive termite damage that happened. Well, when they dug out their own crawl space and they had water issues coming in, and you have the perfect temperature in North Carolina, no vapor barrier, you're just asking, saying, hey, come on, termites, I got your dinner here. Come on, come eat my house. So besides the termites and the crawl space, instead of keeping there was one bathroom in this house on the main floor, and the sellers, instead of keeping the sink attached to the septic system and the drain. They drilled a hole through the wall. They drilled a hole through the wall and they poked a pipe through the wall. So when any time the gray water was draining from the sink, it just poured right outside the house, like right there on the ground.
So it just went directly from the sink to outside.
To outside, the
drainage,
crawl space.
The drainage.
Basically right into the crawl space. Yeah.
So we had gray water in the crawl space.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
By the way, we had gray water in the crawl space that's not supposed to be there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then we had, of course, quite a bit of mold. We had fungus. I mean, we had mushrooms, big ones. Mm-hmm. All growing underneath that house. So did we renegotiate price? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did he still want the house after all that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, she did.
I mean, okay.
It's all about, so we had about 15 different professionals and inspectors,
right,
and people come through who would give us estimates. So we knew how much it would cost in order to get it back to a good livable house, basically. And let me see, the house is basically worthless in its current state.
Right.
So my buyer has ended up paying about the cost of land.
Okay.
At this point.
And then it's she or he buyer?
She.
Is she going to restore the house? Is that mm-hmm. what her, she's going to
she
do?
She is. She's really? Going to restore the house.
Right. And so I've got to ask this. I mean, are there people who specialize in old houses like that?
There are people in our area, and this is what they work with. So they're very familiar with the roof. The roof was an original tin roof. It doesn't need replacing.
Wow.
But it does need painting,
right,
and it needs to be sanded. But the roof was actually okay, surprisingly enough.
Wow.
Original tin roof. That was okay. The laundry room kind of was missing half a floor, so you were just looking down at the dirt. All the HVAC systems are going to be replaced. All the ductwork is being replaced. The seller forgot to say that they disconnected some of the ductwork from the vents upstairs. So when we looked up in the attic space, we realized instead of a 2,800 square foot home heated and cooled, oh, it was only 1,600.
Oh,
so that was part of the inspections as well.
Wow.
Figuring out that it wasn't even hooked up on the second floor in two of the main rooms.
Wow.
Because they wanted to push the air to different parts of the house.
Wow. That's bizarre.
Mm-hmm. It's very bizarre.
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
I know that we're out of time here. I'm so sorry we couldn't get to the uncle living in the basement story. But if you want to know about the uncle living in the basement story, you can contact Kim. So Kim, first of all, thank you for being on.
You've been, absolutely.
It's been fun. And by the way, I don't know if you could tell that she's not from the States. She's from Australia. She's actually heading back home.
I am.
Next week.
I am.
And so I hope you have a great time at home.
Thank you so much.
And I really do.
And I'll come back on as soon as I get back from Australia.
Yeah, you're going to have to.
And I won't sound like this.
You won't. You will sound worse.
We will
not be able to understand her. She'll have a can of Foster's in her hand.
Ew.
Ew. Right. And she'll be calling me mate. But it's all done. Tell people, great job. Tell people how they can hold you.
Thank you. Thank you. You can reach me at kim@lindacroft.com and also on my direct number, which is 919-605-6045.
Repeat the number one more time.
919-605-6045.
That's awesome. Kim, thank you so much. Send Steve in.
I will. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you for being on. That was Kim Crump with Linda Craft Team Realtors telling us some fun stories. Oh my gosh. Who would have thought that these type of things could actually happen in people in a house digging out a crawl space in a house from the 1900s, one bucket at a time. Can you imagine, Steve?
No, that's a lot of work.
I mean, and it was a house built in the 1900s. She was telling a story. They one bucket at a time, they decide they want to put an HVAC unit in the house.
Wow.
And so what they decided was, because there was no crawl space in a house that, right? Mm-hmm. So they decided to take it upon themselves to dig out their own crawl space. And of course, which compromised the footings and,
yes,
and the whole thing. And wow. And then there was, it just bizarre. I don't know if you heard the story, but you're going to have to listen to the show or watch the show because it's amazing.
I will.
Steve Austin has been a friend of mine for more than 25. We discovered it's about 25 plus years, 26 years. Steve is a handyman, and it's Austin Home Repair, right? And,
yes.
And how long have you been doing this?
In Raleigh since 1993.
Okay, you were doing this before Raleigh, though.
Yes, when I was in Connecticut. You know, I started back when I was 16.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I worked for a hardware store, and the owner of the hardware store ran a handman business out of that, so I was his apprentice, so that's how I got started.
Oh, wow, cool. Now there's something else we need to tell people, too, because I originally met you as a personal trainer.
That's right.
And you were training. And do you still do that?
Yes, I do. I have a degree in athletic training. I have a bachelor's in athletic training. And so that's what I went to school for.
Right. Well, and so you do both?
Yes, I do both. Usually in the mornings, I've got, you know, anywhere from 6 till 10 or 11. And then I do small home repair in the afternoons.
Okay. So tell us, what is it that a handyman, because you're not a contractor.
That's right.
But you're a handyman.
Yes.
What does a handyman do? Help people understand what a handyman does.
So a handyman sort of does a little bit of everything on a smaller scale. You know, we'll do plumbing, electrical, and usually it's doing repairs or replacing a fixture. So everything's sort of there already. You're not really building anything new. You know, you might be replacing some deck boards or some siding or putting in a ceiling fan or sheetrock repair or painting. So it's sort of a little bit of everything. So, you know, a lot of times, like painters, they may not do the sheetrock repair, but they'll do the painting. Well, I can do the sheetrock repair and do the painting. So it's usually just one person.
Okay, that does that. Okay.
Yeah.
So what would be something that you would not do that people shouldn't call you to do? What would be something?
Yeah, mine are more punch list type stuff. Okay. You know, I tell everybody that if, you know, you want one room painted, you call me. If you want three rooms painted, you call a painter. You know, if you just want one fixture in your bathroom replaced, your sink fixture, you call me. If you want just a toilet repair, you know, a plumber doesn't want to come out and do, it's sort of all the small jobs that the contractors don't want to do.
Okay.
And if they do them, you get charged a lot.
Right. Whereas you may be probably more reasonable.
Yeah. Cause it's just me and, you know, that's just my business and, you know, I don't have any overhead or anything.
Right. Cause it is just you, right? This isn't a team of Steve Austin's.
No. You get me. That's right.
Right. So it's just you. What are some of the typical jobs that you find that people ask you to do as a handyman?
You know, a lot of changing ceiling fans, putting new light fixtures in, you know, doing painting, you know, fixing railings that have spindles that are out, all the small jobs that people having a hard time getting the bigger guys to come do.
Okay. I know that you did some work for us. I mean, you did some trim work, mm-hmm. right? To kind of make things look prettier.
Yes.
Right. I mean, it wasn't a repair, but you did, you kind of built us a piece of trim. You built us some trim around the TVs that we could make it look really neat and cool. And,
yeah.
And I know you, let's talk about ceiling fans for a second. I just put in two ceiling fans at our beach house.
Yeah.
By the way. That's not, it's not an easy job.
Right.
There's an order that you have to go in to put in a ceiling fan.
Yeah, and if you don't do the order, you got to start all over again. That's right.
And I want to just say this, right? I mean, I was raised on a farm, so I've done some handy stuff before. But if you, I got to tell you something. If you're not comfortable doing it, don't. Because I there were times where I was looking at, you know, because the ceiling fans are so different, and like, you know, you're looking up all the time, and And, you know, some of them, it's on, you have them on each switch.
That's right.
So you have to wire them on each switch. And then some of them, it's a just remote control. So you don't need both wires,
right?
You don't need all the wires because you just need two because everything's going to run through the remote control.
That's right.
And I think those are the little things, right?
Yeah.
That people don't consider, right? Yeah. When they go to, you know, their Lowe's or Home Depot or the hardware store, right? Mm-hmm. And they buy, oh, this is a beautiful fan, honey. Oh yeah, I can do that, right?
Right.
And then they bring it home and they take it apart, and there is a million parts, by the way.
There are.
And by the way, you've done this for, you know, 30 years.
Yeah, so. I remember I did two in a previous house years, and they were like 70 pounds each. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, that's right.
You know,
yeah, they were 70 pounds because they were big fans.
Yeah. Nice ones too.
And they were, they were nice ones. Yeah. They were as well. What are some of the, for you as a handyman, what is maybe some of the more complicated jobs that you've had to do?
Sometimes it's, I do work with some interior decorators, like the other day I installed, 11 window curtains.
Okay.
And so, you know, I like it when it's one-on-one, but sometimes when you have, you know, two or three people, the homeowner there, you know, and the interior decorator, and you got to get everything just right, you know? And so that's what gets hard sometimes, you know, I mean, but I'm used to it now. So,
right. But so I didn't know you worked with interior decorators.
Yeah. The issue with me is I'm typically about 4 weeks out.
Okay.
So you really have to plan, you know, so a lot of times, you know, people will call and they're going to want, you know, curtains hung, you know, by the weekend, you know? Right. And so I'm not someone that you can call and I can be there in a week. You know, it's usually 3 to 5 weeks before I can, you know.
So plan ahead.
Yeah.
Before they call, because you're not probably going to be able to get there right away.
That's right.
Okay.
And so, because I've been doing it here since 93. So most of my clients, you know that, you know, we've got to plan it out, you know, and so sometimes what happens, like I did the 11 window treatments, and then they had this big, huge cabinet that needed to be put together from IKEA. So, you know, so I also, you know, will put something together. So sort of all the jobs, it's hard to find someone to do that wants to do it and has the tools to do it.
Right. Because that's the other piece, right? I mean, you have all the equipment. I mean, the one thing about you was like when you were building the trim and stuff like that, I mean, you had the saws, you had the tools, you had the little teeny nails that you were sunk in there. And
yeah.
I mean, by the way, your work was impeccable, by the way. It was unbelievable. I'll never forget when we looked and went, oh my gosh, it looks like it should have always been there. Your work was impeccable. What are some of the jobs? So you do a lot of jobs on the inside. So we're talking about like window treatments, talking about ceiling fans. What are some things that maybe you do on the outside of the house that you've done?
A lot of the outside work, I don't do a lot of, you know, roofing or roofing repairs. You know, I'm pretty much on the first floor type, and a lot of it's, wood rot repair. You know, I've put some low level lighting in and, you know, just, the basic, you know, on a walkway, you know, maybe put a coat of paint on some columns, you know, just really all the small things, you know, deck boards, you know, exterior doors that aren't closing correctly, they're sticking, just all the punch list type stuff.
Have you run into jobs ever where you got into something and you went, uh-oh?
Yes. Yes. Now, I had one that just had, it was on a front door and it had beautiful trim around it, and down the bottom it was wood rot. And, you know, I explained to my client that I could pull this out and it could be just here, or it could go on up. And unfortunately it went all the way up to the second floor, and it ended up being a $20,000 repair, which at the time when I saw that, that's when I backed away and I said, you know, I'm just one guy. I'm the guy that will replace the board,
right,
but not, you know, the structure and that kind of stuff.
Right.
So that's the hard thing in my business is not biting off more than I can chew. I mean, I have to sometimes tell people that, you know, this is too big for me.
Okay. Right. And how do they feel about that when you say, hey, look, this is going to be a little bit bigger? How generally do they take that?
They appreciate it. You know, because they know me from when I first talked to them, especially if it's a new client and they realize that I'm sort of like a punch list guy. And so, you know, we can save money if it's just a small repair, but you know, they appreciate my honesty and, you know, I don't get involved in something too big that, right. that I won't be able to finish.
Right. Right. So where does the line draw between you and the contractor?
So the contractor typically, you know, they may have their employees that will do some of the punch list stuff, but mine are all the small jobs that, you know, I'm in and out in really a day, you know, or an afternoon.
Okay.
And so that's where I draw the line. You know, if it's a J, you know, I can't tell you last time I was working for someone and was there all week.
Okay.
You know, I mean, if I was doing three coats on a room, yeah, each day I might go, you know, for 3 hours or whatever, but so it's more, my jobs are in and out in a day and right. I just have to be real careful, you know, not, you know, getting into right. jobs that are too big because, you know, I'm booked out a month. So, right. you know, if I'm delayed a day, you know, then that
it affects everything, right. Everything else
yeah.
down the road. What are some of the most unusual jobs?
So, you know, I tell everybody I sort of do everything. And one unusual job is where I actually went grocery shopping for the lady. and she didn't want to insult me. And of course she paid me, you know, right. you know, a fair price for my time to do that. But you know, things that come up, like I told you about the curtains and, you know, I finished right. early and they said, hey, would you put a cabinet, you know, together? I had a client for a long time that, had some health issues and, you know, I was real close to them. And, they asked me if I could drive my van over and take him to the doctor's appointments.
Right.
So I've done a lot of different things. I don't do that kind of stuff, but right. sometimes when you get close with someone, most of my clients, you know, I've been like you guys, I mean, right. you know, over 20 years,
right.
but you know, most of my clients I've been with 10 years, so they sort of know and they know what they can ask.
Right. So a couple of things I want to, and you tell me yes or no. Okay. Yeah. We're just to have some fun with this. All right.
Okay.
So dad decides to buy a basketball net court, big basketball thing that's collapsible. And he looks at it. There's a billion parts. Can he call you to do that?
Yes.
Okay. Dad decides to buy he decides that what he's going to do is he's going to purchase a whole house filter type system where he's going to filter. Could you put that in?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, go ahead. You were going to say something.
So yeah, I mean, just the basic one,
right.
you know, they have ones that are very elaborate, but they have a basic one where, you usually got to go in a crawl space, you know, and then right. you cut the pipes and you put that in. So that would be a small enough job okay. for me to do.
Okay. Let's talk about crawl spaces. Can you put down the vapor barrier?
Yeah, I did that back in the 90s in the early 2000s. So, you know,
what's changed, Steve?
Yeah, I can pick and choose my job a little bit more. I'm not a fan of crawl spaces. But you know, some of my clients that have, right. I've been with a long time, I'll do that. But probably if someone called and said, you know, can you put a vapor barrier down? I'd, you know, try and okay. refer them probably.
Okay. Sinks seem to be clogged and I can't figure out why.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. That's you. Okay.
Yeah. So most of the time it's 90% of the time it's contained within the bathroom there.
Right.
But if it was further down into the pipes, then you would call a plumbing contractor,
okay.
but 90% of the time it's, you know,
Hey Steve, listen, my grout's looking a little bit rough in my bathroom.
So not a total, more of a repair for grout. So if there's a couple lines that are divoting out or something like that, but if it's something, a regrouting of the whole shower or floor, that I would suggest
okay.
would be too big.
Okay. Would be too big, yeah. But you would clean the grout if they want the grout clean.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. Steve, I've got a part of my hardwood floors that were sitting underneath my dishwasher that have kind of warped.
So flooring, I haven't gotten a whole lot into.
Okay.
you know, that's to replace the boards is a good skill to have. And right. I don't do that enough to, okay. to make it finished. So, okay. so what I tell people is pretty much tiling, flooring and roofing and that kind of stuff. I don't do.
Oh, that you just stay away from that.
Right.
Okay. All right. How about, hey, we want to install a dishwasher.
Yes.
Okay. Have you done that?
Yes. A lot of them.
A lot of them?
Yeah. And it's a bigger job now. All the new ones are requiring a plug in there. So, you know, you've got to do some wiring and, you know, so it's a little bit bigger of a job, but yeah, I do that.
Mm-hmm. I want to put an outlet in my attic.
Yes.
Can you run that?
Yes.
Okay. I want to put another internet line in my office.
Yes.
You can do that too.
Yes.
Dude, you do a lot of stuff.
Yeah. And sort of, that's the thing is it's, you know, it's a lot of everything, you right. know? And that's, so, and that's what my clients do. They call and they ask me, you know, Steve, can you do this? I work for several businesses and I go there once and I don't even know what I'm doing that day. And they just have a list, a Steve's list. And then I could be fixing the chair. I could be putting light bulbs in. So every day is different.
Wow. Floorboards? Have you replaced floorboards before?
Like on the wood panel floors? Yeah. No, I try and stay away from this.
So flooring, we just try to stay away
from that. That's its own animal, really, and tiling.
Right. And tiling. So you just stay away from that.
Yes.
Completely. So you can help Dad at Christmas, putting the bikes together, putting the basketball goal together, putting the ping pong table together, right? You can help Dad do all that.
Oh, yeah.
All right, you could do.
And a lot of times the dads want to be a part of it to earn. So I actually work with people, you know, the
owners. So you actually let the owner work with you.
Yes.
And so they can
see. If they want to
to see what you're doing.
And sometimes it helps them save a little money and they learn and it makes it easier for me and it's a win-win.
That's cool. Yeah. Do you do that too? Like if you're doing like a little plumbing issue and somebody says, hey, are you okay if they go, hey, can I see what you're doing here?
Yeah, that's fine.
Really?
Hell yeah. Yeah, really? I teach them, you know, and, you know.
Really?
Yeah, because sometimes, you know, a lot of my clients, they can do the work and they just, either they don't have the tool and they don't want to buy the tools, you know, or they don't have the time to do it.
Right.
You know, or their wives don't want them to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, I think that's really cool because you actually let them learn what you're doing and it doesn't seem to hurt your business at all.
No,
because it doesn't seem like, okay, they're going, okay, well, Steve did it. I could do it. It seems like they're still calling you back.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Like today's job, I installed the, in a garage, the, Gladiator, paneling.
Okay.
You know, and the husband was that right there helping, holding things. It's easier because when you're working by yourself and you just need someone to set a hands, you know, and,
right.
You know, he's asking about the tools because that's not his wheelhouse, right?
Right, right.
And, you know, it helps me.
Yeah, well, that's kind of, but that is really cool, though, because it's kind of like you're not just, you know, in some cases, you're not just doing the work. You're actually teaching people.
Yeah.
At the same time. That's got to be a cool thing.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's fun.
Yeah. I mean, that is so neat. Okay. Now I know you've made these amazing relationships with clients and I know you have this one client story that you talk about, who were getting married.
Yes.
So to tell how long you knew this client, tell her what you did for this client and then tell the story.
So this client I've worked for, probably 15 years now, maybe 18 years. And they have a nice home and, I take care of their home and they travel a lot. So one day they decided, they pulled me aside and they said, you know, we're going to get married now. And, they had been together for like, I think 8 years. And so they wanted me to be, a witness to the wedding. And I said, oh, sure. You know, we'll do that. And, but the wedding was going to be on the Amalfi Coast
in Italy.
So I said, I can't do that. I had two young girls at home and the finances to be able to do that. And then time away from work.
Right.
And they said, well, we want you to be there. And if it's just the finances, we got it. And so they took me there for 2 weeks and I was I mean, they put me up in right on Positano, and it was amazing.
That's awesome.
So a lot of my clients, you know, maybe not get to that level, but I've known them like you and Linda for a long time. I mean, you know, I've got a bucket of keys, and, you know, a lot of times they go away on vacation and, you know, I'm working there and they want me to, you know, they may have nice cars and they need to be driven. You know, they don't need to sit for 2 weeks. So that's on the Steve's list. You know, please take the car out for 15 minutes, you know, when you come, you know.
So, really?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
And it's when I get into a nice one and I pull, you know, because sometimes I'll just go to Lowe's and get the parts, right? And that's part of the driving. And when people see me in my, you know, work clothes, they look at me like, what's he doing with that car?
What's he doing in a Ferrari?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's he doing in a Bentley?
Right. Like, right. What's the
guy doing? But you're driving the car. Right. Okay. Well, I hate to disappoint you, but if I have you do that, it's just a Jeep.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So you'd have to be driving my Jeep around. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It would be just a Jeep.
Yeah.
Right. So it's not going to get that great for you if you're driving my car.
I do it for you though.
I know you would, but I mean, at the same time, it's kind of like, okay, it's just a Jeep. Sorry, yeah. But it's all good. That's really, really cool. Is there something that you wish people knew about your job?
Yeah. Sometimes it gets, you know, for example, if I'm replacing a faucet and there's a valve underneath the sink and the valve, and it's a 30-year-old home, it's a 30-year-old valve. And sometimes, you know, when you turn those things, they've been seized up and it just starts dripping. And, you know, yes, I was the one that turned it, but they just don't understand because it's so old. I didn't really cause that.
Right.
So sometimes in the repair business, you know, you have to tell people, look, this valve has been here for 30 years. And if it drips, that's not, you know, it's not my fault, you know? So sometimes you can get in some pickles like that where, you know, they don't quite understand. Well, you touched it, but it was fine before you touched it.
Right. You know,
and so it's not my fault, but they perceive that it is.
Sure.
So that's what you have to work around. And what's nice is all my business has been referral. I've never advertised.
Right. Yeah. You don't.
And so,
I mean, the t-shirt is the most I've ever seen you advertise, by the way.
Yeah. That's right.
Right.
So most of the time I know the people, you know, and they know my work ethic and so usually it's not an issue, but there's been a few times that it's been the hardest thing. Right.
So, yeah. So just people need to be reasonable.
Yeah.
I guess that's be reasonable. I mean, if the house is old, and you ask me to do something and it's been seized up and it's rusted over and you move it, sometimes some things can happen.
Yes.
Right. And you don't blame me. You haven't moved it like the car in 30 years. What do you expect would happen? Right.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, the belt flew off. That wasn't my fault. You know, you haven't run the car in 30 years. Yeah, when I turned it on,
good point.
The belt flew off. Right.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, I totally get it. This has been really a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I've really enjoyed, and I know this was not in your comfort zone.
No.
At all. Because you're behind the scenes guy.
Yes.
That's kind of what you do. But your work is amazing.
Thank you.
I tell everybody that his work is absolutely impeccable. I'm just telling you, when you see what he does, like I said, we've had him do trim for us. We've had him do big ceiling fans. I did not help him, by the way.
No.
I didn't help him. I could have. I actually didn't know he allowed help. Had I known that, I would have gotten in his way to do it. You're still also doing personal training.
Yes.
And so people can contact you, Handyman, but they can also contact you for personal training, right?
Yeah. It's just my, I have my own studio in our home. So, okay. A lot of times it's referral business. You know, just my cell phone, they can call me.
Okay. What's the number they can reach you at?
So it's 919.
Okay.
414-1117.
Okay. Do that one more time.
919-414-1117.
Awesome. Easy number to remember. And then do you anything by email? Do you have an email?
It's austinhomerepair@gmail.
Oh, that simple.
That's simple.
austinhomerepair@gmail.
And those are the only two things I do.
That's it.
That's it.
Right. Because there's not a website, right?
No.
Right. It's just austinhomerepair@gmail.
Yeah. I keep it real simple.
And he keeps it real simple.
My invoices are handwritten.
You do accept credit cards?
No.
No?
I do check, cash, Venmo, PayPal.
Oh, well, okay. So you do, you accept credit cards just as Venmo and PayPal.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Right. I was going to say, you don't happen to have one of those old slidey things.
No,
put the credit card in and you slide it.
Right.
You remember those from way
back?
Yes,
I do.
Right. You probably repaired one of those actually.
Yeah. Back in the hardware days.
Right. Back in the hardware days, you probably did it. This has been a lot of fun. It's been great seeing you again.
Great to see you.
Thank you for being on the show.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Stay with me. Hey folks, you know what? You've been watching Real Estate Right Now. We talk about real estate matters that matter to you. You know what? We've had a fun show. It's been great, right? We've talked about the crazy things of real estate. We've learned what a handyman can do and what a handyman can't do, and what a handyman, all the things that they can do outside of what you think a handyman could do. It's been really fun. You know what? I'm going to tell you every week, right? I'm so grateful that you watch the show, that you listen to the show wherever you're at, all over the world, and that at some point we're going to be on TV. Yeah, on Apple TV. It's coming. We'll let you know. I know I wasn't supposed to let that out of the bag, but I'm going to let it out of the bag early. At some point, the show's going to go on. But you know, I say to you every week, you know what? Thank you for watching. Tell your friends, right? And then as you hear every week, all over, everywhere. Ciao, everybody. Living if you're dreaming small.